This morning we're going to have Sam and Isaac do our scripture readings for us. So they're going to come up now. Come on, boys. Come on. Come up too. Now, is this high enough for you to see? Yeah. All right, so before you guys start, what does Christmas mean to you? Does it mean family get-togethers? Does it mean food? Does it mean holidays and recuperation even? Does it mean receiving gifts? No, what kind of things come to your mind when you think about Christmas? It's from that perspective that I'll be sharing this morning and that we're doing this message. Christmas for me often is something that there's a whole side of it that I love and that I really appreciate and I enjoy, and there's this other whole side of it that just feels like it sucks the life out of me. And it's a thing that happens every year, and so each year God is teaching me more and more and more about how to focus my attentions where they're meant to be and not just on what we think they should be on. Right, Samuel. Oh, Isaac. Okay. So I'll hold it and you can read.
In the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent an angel, Gabriel, to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a girl named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a distant relative of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Confused and disturbed, Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. "Don't be afraid, Mary," the angel told her, "for you have found favor with God. You will become pregnant and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. He will be very great and will be called the Son of Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his ancestor David, and he will reign over Israel forever. His kingdom will never end." Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm not married." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you, so the baby will be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was a barren, but she's become pregnant and is now in her sixth month, for nothing is impossible with God." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And the angel left her.
It was from Luke chapter 1, 26 to 38.
That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Saviour, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David, and you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped in snugly stripes of cloth, lying in a manger." Suddenly the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." Then the angels have returned to heaven. The shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see the thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." They hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherds the story were astonished, but Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them often. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them.
Thank you, boys. And that one was from Luke 2, 8 to 20. All right, you can go. So that's a little portion of what you read through Luke about the Christmas story. It's also in Matthew, and there's heaps of it. So I thought it'd be nice if we'd have a bit of a change and hear it from the children instead of my voice the whole time. The thing that strikes me about Christmas this year is that it doesn't make sense. And what I mean by that is that all the things that when I stop and take time to look at about Christmas that I expect to find, I don't. They're different things. And one of the things that has struck me reading through this is that it's upside down. It's not even logical. And even from 2017, this story isn't logical. If I was God, I would have gone big. I would have gone huge. You know, after all, there is this world full of people who don't know me. And I want to save them, and I want them to know that I am capable of saving them. So I would have gone huge. Perhaps I would have come as a king with a whole lot of staff. Perhaps I would have come, you know, if we're talking about me, perhaps I would have come as a superhero, someone who can completely wow everybody. Now just know for a fact that I can save them all. I don't know really what I would have done, but I am pretty sure that if it was me coming up with this idea, I would not have started like this. A baby born of a young girl is not the way that I would choose. Don't you love that about God? He's always full of surprises. And I don't mean the kind of surprises that are like Santa, you know, not the happy surprises, though there are some of those. I'm meaning more those kind of surprises that sort of make you feel like the atmosphere has shifted somehow, leaving you feeling slightly uncomfortable. Mary was a young girl. We know this. She was most likely about 12 or 13 years old. She's engaged to Joseph. Joseph's bakapapa is impressive. He can trace his line all the way back to King David. That's a big deal in Israel's history. Mary's prospects are good. She's going to marry this guy. She's marrying into a great family. But right now, she's only engaged. She doesn't enjoy that status that Joseph has yet. Her whānau isn't even mentioned here. She's simply introduced into the story as a virgin. She is probably going about her day like any other day. Maybe she's grinding grain. I don't know. I don't know what she would have been doing, but it probably would have been work. She has no idea that God is about to speak to her. She has no idea that her whole life is about to change. An angel just appears in front of her, and his first words to her are, "Greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you." Mary is confused. Me? How can I be favored? I'm pretty much the last person who would call himself. And woman didn't have any status back then. And to boot, she's not even properly an adult yet. This angel replies and he tells her, "Don't be afraid." And then he tells him, and then he repeats himself again, "For you have found favor with God. Mary, you are going to get pregnant. This baby is going to be a boy. And you are going to name him Jesus. Your baby Jesus, he is going to be great. So great that he is going to be called God's son." No one was called God's son back then. God is going to give him the throne of his ancestor David. This is the epitome, the whole peak of Israel's history. They are all looking forward to this one time when the Messiah is going to come. He's going to rule over Jacob's house forever. Imagine watching this scene. This young girl, she listens to this impressive speech, and it's all about a baby that she is going to birth. She doesn't say, "Hang on a minute, I've got to ask my father. In fact, actually, can you just give me a few more minutes because I need to ask my fiancé, Joseph." You know, and that would have been a logical response because in those days, she belonged to her father and she is going to belong to Joseph. But she's just been given a destiny, a future of what's going to happen in her life in that moment without either of those men present. It's a big deal in that culture. Instead, she just responds with awe. She is amazed. "Wow, I'm a virgin. How is this even going to happen? Her response is not faithlessness. It's not disbelief. It's awe. It's probably even curious. I'm astounded that this young girl isn't responding to this speech with disbelief. This is the long-awaited and prophesied Messiah that's finally going to make his appearance on earth, and God chooses a woman to tell, a young woman. He doesn't go to the Sanhedrin. He didn't go to the temple. He didn't talk to the priests. He didn't go to the government leaders of the day and say, everything's about to change here. He showed up in a home with a woman to tell her. That is backwards. It's upside down. It doesn't make sense. Over and over again, God shows us in Scripture that he does not respond the way that humanity expects him to. He does things differently. This kingdom of God that came to earth, I like to call it an upside down kingdom. It's a kingdom where a young unmarried woman hears that news that God is going to send his son, Jesus, to earth to be born from her womb, to be raised by her. In his kingdom, he values the people that the world think are unimportant. He is all about the little people. So by little people, I'm meaning like this, those that feel like they have no status, those that feel like they're low, those that feel like they are overlooked, the little people. In 1 Corinthians 1 verse 27, it says this, instead, God chose the things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are powerless to shame those who are powerful. Little people have something special about them in God's eyes. This angel goes on to explain to her that the Holy Spirit is going to cause her to be pregnant, and almost as if to give her an example of just how powerful God is, he says to her, hey, you know what, your cousin Elizabeth, you know, the one that's been barren for years, been wanting a baby for years, she's been struggling forever, she's pregnant. And then he says, Mary, nothing is impossible with God, nothing. When I read that phrase in the Bible, it does give me pause. You know, we think we believe it, right? Our kids sing it. We sing it when we grow up through Sunday school. My God is so big, so strong and so mighty. Nothing's impossible for him. But somewhere as we grow up and we're children and we leave that behind and we stop singing that song, somehow we start to question that. Is it true? Is nothing impossible for God? I'm challenged by this. I wonder if Mary was thinking along these lines. But it doesn't look like it. It's more likely that she was curious. The angel told her, the Lord is with you. This is a phrase that's used in the Old Testament, usually to a person who was chosen by God to do something special in salvation history. Salvation history is like a term that they use to talk about this plan that God has had from the beginning that he is working towards right throughout time. It's a phrase that gave that person the assurance that God will provide them with his resources and his protection. It's significant that it's used here. This lowly woman is held in high esteem by God, and he has promised to provide for her needs. So how does Mary respond to this? She responds with this entire disposition, or this feeling of submission. This whole story is outrageous. And Mary submits. There's no arguments. There's no begging the angel to go and find someone else. There's no telling him, hey, I'm not the person for the job here. You know, there's someone out, like Elizabeth even. She's way more holy than me. She doesn't do that. She risks her marriage. And by risking her marriage, she risks her entire future. Yet she submits. I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true. When God tells you something, is submission your first response? It is not mine. I'll be honest. My first response is to ask questions, to get details, to find out more about it, weigh it up. Does it feel like me? Do I think I can do this? Do I think I can do this if God helps me? It's not the straight away attitude of submission. My mum and I refer to how my going to Kerry was an act of obedience, and it was one where I was dragged kicking and screaming there, in a sense, by God. I got there. But it was still a very scary thing for me. But the funny thing is that it's not because I'm not willing. It's not because I don't have desire. It's because I feel so much like a little person. Not a short person, because that would be weird. But I feel like a little person. You know, I feel like someone who isn't adequate. I don't have what it takes. The list of cons to this is this high. And the list of pros are like this. Now, this same goes for my skills versus what I think I need. I didn't expect this Christmas story to challenge my submission to God, but it does. When Mary says that she's the Lord's servant, she's also acknowledging that she will play a part in this plan. She is going to play a part in the Messiah's arrival on earth. At a conference, I heard this idea of participation presented like this, and I really love it. A father, he's a builder, and he goes to work and he's building a house. And he has a four-year-old kid, and this four-year-old kid wants to go to work with daddy. And so daddy tells, yep, you can come. Come with me to work. And he gives him a wooden hammer, and he gives him a plastic saw, and the four-year-old follows daddy around at work, and he helps him to build the house. Now, we all know that kid's doing nothing. But the kid feels like he's doing everything. He feels so important. He feels valued. He feels like he's got a purpose. His father is building the house. But the kid gets to participate. And this is what we see here. God can do everything that he wants without us. That's a fact, he can. But he chooses to do it with us. He chooses to use us in his plans. He gives us his opportunity to participate, to get involved. He chooses to make us a part of what he is doing here, right now, in our towns, in our homes, in our schools. And in our humanity, I think we can get a bit scared of the responsibility. It feels too big. It feels like I can't do this. God, there's so many reasons why I can't do this. But that's when we are looking at ourselves instead of at our Father. If we realize that we're following our Father to work, getting to be involved, but he's doing the real work, there's a peace that comes from that. We matter in this work. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that we don't matter. We do matter in this work, but we matter because he has chosen to make us matter. So the next people that are introduced in this little story here are our shepherds. Shepherds were not special people. We are starting to see a bit of a pattern here. They might have owned a little bit of land, maybe. They might have been able to work that bit of land, but it was not a big enough land or, you know, a big enough plot for them to actually make a huge living off it. So this is why they would end up by hiring themselves out to look after wealthy people's sheep and cattle and whatever else they looked after back then. They were peasants. They were at the bottom of the scale of power and privilege. They lived out in the fields with their herds. You know how I was talking about going big? Well, God went big with the shepherds. An angel appears, and it says that the radiance of God's glory surrounded them. I don't know what that would be. I can't even imagine what that would be, but it seems to me that it might be this kind of huge light that felt like it had a presence in it. It's dark. They're sitting around as the sheep settle in for the night. Maybe they're telling some stories, rolling out their bedrolls. And this light appears. Darkness and then light. But it isn't just light. It's God's glory. It seems very appropriate to me that they would be freaking out. They have nothing that's to prepare them for this. These guys are just shepherds. Then they see an angel, and he speaks to them right where they are at. Guys, don't freak out. Don't be scared, because I am about to tell you something that is going to flip your world upside down, and it is going to bring you so much joy. And what I'm going to tell you, this news, it's for everyone. It's for you guys. It's for everyone. You don't feel important, but this news is for you. The saying that the angel's saying is a bit different to what he said to Mary here.
Mary, it was all about this baby and how she was going to be birthing this baby. But for the shepherds, he tells them that a Saviour is going to be born. He is Christ the Lord. And guys, just so that you know this is the truth, I'm going to give you a sign. And the sign is going to be this tiny baby wrapped in swaddling in a manger. Again, I get to that point and I go, that's not much of a sign. Especially after what they've just had. They're standing there in a field. There are angels everywhere. And the sign is a wee baby in a manger. As if that's not enough, this angel is joined by a whole host of angels. It calls them the Lord's army. And they sing. Man, it would have been a sound to hear. It would have been magnificent. And I keep thinking again how crazy this is. God goes big for the shepherds. You know, I kind of think maybe he would have gone to the priests. Maybe he should have gone to the ruler of the day and gone, your time is up. I'm about to be here. But he goes out to the fields, to a farm, and he tells this incredible, huge, big news in this glorious way to peasants. It's not the way that we do things. It's not the way that we think. They get this message loud and clear that they are held in high regard by God. No matter what the people around them think, God decided that they were the ones to get this good news and that they mattered. Again, we're seeing this theme of the little people are esteemed by God. So how did the shepherds respond? They got active immediately. There was no hanging around. There was no twiddling their thumbs going, oh, I'd like to finish this coffee before we go. Straight away, they are filled with excitement. They're like, come on, let's go. We have got to go into town and see. We've got to go and see this, what the Lord has told us. The angels didn't tell them to go look. I went back and checked through for that, just wondering, you know. But it didn't tell them to go look. They went. Something sparked in their hearts and they got up and they went. After they found Mary and Joseph, and they'd visited with the baby, they went out and they told everyone what they had seen. The Bible says that people were amazed. But the commentators point out that it doesn't say that they came to faith. And we see descriptions like that in other areas of the Bible, but in this part it doesn't. It just says that the people were amazed. Maybe it sounded like a crazy story to them too. But then we see that Mary's response is different. It says this about her. Mary kept all these things in her heart, and she thought about them often. Oh, it must have been incredible for her. She's just delivered this baby in a stable with the animals all around her in a town that's not her own. And then a bunch of people, a bunch of guys no less, show up at the door to come and visit her baby. She doesn't know who they are. She's never met them before, and she has not put anything on Facebook to say the baby's here. I'd be weirded out by that. They come right to her, and on top of that, they worship her child. She gathers this up, and she thinks on it. She's filled with wonder, with joy, expectation, perhaps even concern for what is to come. This woman chooses to think on the things that God has told her and he's promised her. And the shepherds, well, they head back to the hills for a worship service with their sheep. They are praising and glorifying God for a baby. Let that sink in. It's easy for us at this stage of the faith story to look back and go, yeah, but it was Jesus. You know, of course that would happen. It was Jesus. But for them, this was just a baby. A small, helpless, defenseless baby. What does Christmas mean to you? This year, God has been filling my thoughts with the craziness of his plan. He didn't go big when he entered the world. Not big how I would have. He went small. He honored the little people. He started showing himself to the world through a baby, not a king, not a superhero, but a little tiny baby. God who is all-powerful, all-knowing, the Creator. He begins his self-revelation here on earth through a helpless, dependent baby. To me, this is upside down. It's crazy. It's nuts. It doesn't make sense. This makes me feel like the atmosphere has shifted somehow. You see, it tells me again that God isn't human. I know that's obvious, right, when we say the words out loud and we hear it, but I find myself thinking all the time, projecting onto him my thoughts, my feelings, and how I operate. He is not human. He does not think like us. He doesn't value the same things as us. He doesn't value the same things that our culture values. He's God. How do you respond to this? Maybe you have someone on your mind right now. Someone who you know that you haven't valued, and maybe for a really good reason even. Maybe you can see the faces of people who you have overlooked. See, these are the people that God came for. This is what Christmas is about. He came for the lost, for the lonely, and for the broken. Maybe you're sitting here today feeling like you have no value. Maybe you're sitting here feeling like you don't belong. Maybe you feel like you are not that important. Maybe you feel like God is only interested in the big people, the important people. I have learned this week that that is not how God's kingdom works. It's how fallen humanity works. He loves little people. And he does his work here with the help of little people. As you go into Christmas, there are so many babies around right now. I encourage you, take that time when you are holding these babies to think, you know, this is how it began. There is so much that you can get from that when you stop and think about it. How would it be if now was the time that God came? How would it be if now was the time that he sent Jesus here and one of us rocked up to you and said, I've been visited by an angel and I'm about to have a baby and it's going to be God's son? You see, when I stop and think of it like that, I know that my response would not be one of faith. I'd be like, whatever. No, and that challenges me because I worship this God. I serve this God. I am sometimes the only person that somebody might come into contact with who can show them something about God. I want to be like Mary. I want to hear God's plan, be in awe, and then say, I am the Lord's servant. May everything that you have said about me come true. I want to be like the shepherds. I want to race into town and I want to see what God has told me about. I want to go home along the way telling everybody about it. And then I want to sing. I want to be full of excitement. I want to praise and glorify God while I am going about my daily life. I want to be like Mary and the shepherds, whose life was changed by just a wee baby. And as you go to Christmas, it's busy this week. It is. I know that. This is the part of Christmas I don't like. It's busy. It's stressful. There is a list a mile long of things that you have to do. But take every opportunity that you can to think about this. This is what Christmas means. It's upside down. It means that God values the things that we often don't. It means that he sees the people that we often overlook. It means that he cares about them, he loves them, and he chose to use a story like this to grab our attention. Something that is so different, so illogical, and not what we expect. I'm going to pray. Father, we do thank you for your grace. Lord, we thank you that you know who we are, you know what we need, you know how we operate because you made us. But Lord, I thank you that you constantly challenge us, that you set before us something that's different to where we're at, that you draw us to becoming more and more like you. But Lord, I thank you more than any of that you love us, that you adore us. And Lord, thank you that you chose to come here through Jesus as a little baby to grow up amongst humanity, to be raised by the very people that you came to save. Father, we pray for your wisdom for us as we go through this week. Help us to open up our eyes, to look around the people near us, to be asking you, God, how can I be a blessing to this person today? Lord, how can I bring a bit of your love and your joy into their life today? And Lord, we thank you that we get to participate with you and join with what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen.